Thank everybody for coming. Every Sunday before Sukkot is a busy Sunday. You don't really have much time to build your sukkah. It's either this Sunday or Erev Sukkot, a few days in between, but not easy. So thank you everyone for coming. Today's topic is called the Esro Gemach. And simply, we know in the Jewish world, it's one of our badges of honor, there is so much chesed, there's so much kindness that goes on. There are communities, I forgot, I checked the email. There are communities that have lists of gemachs, of different offers of all types of chesed. Person is a wheelchair gemach. Someone needs a wheelchair for somebody. There's book reading gemachs. I saw someone the other day was asking, is there a chuppah gemach? So many different, anything you could think of that would service other people. I remember in yeshiva, someone had a gemach. It was actually very important for yeshiva shakars. They had a jump starter, one of these automatic jump starters. So they kept it in yeshiva, gemach. Actually, at one point, there was a gemach dating car in yeshiva. A car that anyone needed for a date was always available. It's amazing. Whatever you could think of as a gemach, as some form of gemilas chesed, people utilized, and we know it's actually a very, very big schus, especially come to these days before Yom Kippur. Pasuk says, the chesed ve'emes echupar avon, that through chesed and emes, sins are forgiven. And to engage in any type of chesed, especially a chesed that rejuvenates itself, you make a gemach, obviously lending money is the most obvious type of gemach. You set up some charitable fund or a charitable office to utilize for things. It's amazing. So I thought of a new gemach, especially these days. Why isn't there a communal Esro gemach? And there's a very good reason for it, right? Especially, yeah, we'll do all the pitum jokes. Right? You have an esrog, and what do you know? You start showing it around to all different people. Look at my esrog. Nowadays you can show it to all different rabbanim. Hey, is my esrog good enough? You show it around, and one guy's, you know, doesn't have good hands, he fumbles it. Next thing you know, your pitum broke off. You spent $150 on this esrog. No more. The pitum breaks, game over. So what do you do? Okay, you could fork over more money and get a new esrog. The guy's out. Every esrog in town has been bought up. What are you going to do? So that's why we should advertise the esrog gemach. For anybody who's missing his esrog, esrog is without a head, pitum broke, come, give an address, and you could use an esrog. It's like a beautiful gemach. Why don't we do that? Right? You can't have a pitum gemach. You can't just glue it back on. It doesn't work like that. Right? No. That's one of the things you should look. You know, if it looks like any part of your esrog was super glued on, don't touch that one. So my Esro Gemach idea, I think, will get a lot of traction. You put to a lot of use. Oh. So I'm going to explore today why we don't find such Esro Gemachs. But before we get to the halakhic reasons, really this concept of an Esro Gemach is not a new concept. There really used to be things similar to an Esra Gemach, as we'll get to. If you know the history of our Jewish nation and the different communities that we lived in, America, as Chaim Volozhin says, the last stop on our journeys. Beforehand, especially go back past few hundred years, Jews were spread out all across Europe, in Russia, okay, the Sephardim were in other more exotic locations. But a majority of the Jewish people were in Europe and Russia. The climate this time of year, Sukkot, in Europe and Russia was not a great climate for growing esrogim. You're not going to plant your esrog tree in St. Petersburg. You're not going to be able to plant an esrog tree in the Ukraine. A lot of things go on in Uman, but you ain't going to find esrog trees. So how did Jews get esrogim? Simple answer is they didn't. And add on to it the fact that financially times were tough and many Jews lived in poverty. Yeah, it was very, very hard to come across an esrog. And there are many towns, there are even many cities that had one or none esrogim. And I'll prove it to you. I came across, I didn't put these marmakomos on their sheets. For example, the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen lived in the 15th century. It's considered, I believe, a late period of the Rishonim. The Trumas Hadeshen was posed the following question. There was one esrog in a group of European cities. So someone, it might have been Chelm, someone came up with the idea, look, nobody around all our neighboring cities, nobody has an esrog. There's only one esrog here. So you know what they decided to do? Chop it up. Right? Solomon's logic. They went and they chopped up this esrog into multiple pieces and sent the different piece to each city. And then they came to the Trumas Hadeshen as a work. You know, there's a discussion about an esrog which is missing a piece. But the Trumas Hadeshen said, yeah, missing a piece. This is only a piece. But you see from the dire straits, look at what they did. They chopped up an esrog into multiple pieces and mailed it out, delivered it to all different cities because they didn't have esrogim. You have in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Resh Mem Ches, talks about can you use an esrog yavesh, a dried out esrog? And there the Mishabura has an extensive discussion in one of the Shari Tshuvas. You got an esrog this year. You don't know if you're going to get one next year. Can I preserve it? What happens if a year later my esrog's there and it looks pretty good? I put it in the freezer. In Russia, I just put it in the backyard. And look, a year later, still looks somewhat yellow. Does that work? So the post can debate this. There's actually a Bakura Yaakov that suggests that such a thing still resembles an esrog could be used, even though it's a year old. Again, I'm not telling you to do this at home. You get a nice, good esrog, put it in a box in your freezer, see if it works for next year. I've heard of people saving matzos from one year to the next, but esrog, yeah, the matzos won't taste good, but... But the most common case, which you did have in Europe, which we'll get to, that the Shulchan Aruch speaks about, is where you did have one esrog that somebody in the community owned, And everyone else would like to take a bite out of it. No, like to have a part of it. And everyone else would use that one person's esrog. So today we're going to go through the halachas. How easy is that to do? And does that work? So that's the background for today's share. So the first source we'll go through is the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sukkah, Mem Aleph on the base on the top left side of your page. The Mishnah writes, "Ein Adam Yotze Yidei Chavasa B'Yom Tov Rishon Gulavo Shal Chavera." A person on the first day of the holiday of Sukkot would not be Yotze, would not fulfill his mitzvah with the lulav of his friend, insert here esrog, any of the four species, right? All of them, we'll see, have the same din. Then he does write, the Mishnah writes, v'shayim osachad adam yotzi yidei chavas b'lova shal chavera. But all other days, it would work if you use someone else's. What's the difference day one and the other days? So if you look in the Gemara starts off, Menahani Mili, where do I know this halacha from? Tana Rabbanan, v'lakatem, shetehei l'kicha b'yako echav echad, you should take, that means everyone individually should take. Why? The pasuk, it continues with the pasuk. Lakachtem lachem, misha lachem, lahotzi es ha-shol ves ha-gazel. To exclude something which is borrowed and something which is stolen. And that's bikanam l'chachamim, what it says in the Mishnah, that you're not yotzi of someone else's lulav. So the Gemara is telling us the idea of having your own esrog, and if it will be borrowed, is a psul medoraisa. It's 100% Torah disqualification. Right? You could use, a guy forgets his pair of tefillin at home, you could use someone else's tefillin. You could use someone else's gemara. There are many mitzvahs you could use other people's objects for. But this mitzvah of Dal Ninim, the Torah says, L'kachtem l'chem, got to take it for yourself. And we darshan there, it's got to be yours. Obviously, it can't be stolen, but also it can't be borrowed. This is brought down the halacha. If you look, second Mar Makom, it says, In Adam Yotze de Chavasa be Amarishim Bulovachal Chavero, Sheishilo. To be inu lachem, ishu lachem. Machaber writes, you will not be able to borrow a lulav on the first day because it's got to be yours. Okay? All the other days, okay, my esro gemach would be good for the guy whose pitim breaks on day one, seemingly. So for day two, day three, all the other days should be good until you see what the Mishnah Berurah says. There's a Mishnah Berurah a little bit later on, but it's on your sheets, by Gimel, Sif Katan Chav Gimel, B'yom Rishon. There he writes, V'hu adin lididan te'osin shnei yamin. This is not only on day one. In Chutz La'aretz, this 100% applies also on day two. And this is something people don't know. How do I know people don't know this? Because the Chavetz Chaim said so. In another spot, there's a Bir Halacha in Tuf Reish Mem Tes, where Chavetz Chaim also talks about this idea that whatever psul we have, the psul of Lachem, on day one, in Chutz La'aretz also applies day two. And people, unfortunately, are not so knowledgeable about that. They all know it's only a day one issue. It's not true. It's day one and day two. Day one and day two, in terms of this, if we're talking about sitting in your sukkah and it's raining, so there we do find the difference in halacha between day one and day two. It's still important day two to be in your sukkah, but we're not as machmer as day one. But in terms of lachem, the Chavetz Chaim is bringing down, day two in Chutz La'aretz is like day one. It's got to be yours. So the gemach is not open. So guess we have a problem. What happens on day one or day two? And this could happen quite simply. A guy does not have a kosher lulav, kosher esrog. Very likely, especially if your trick to keep your aravos fresh doesn't work out so well, you forgot to take care of it before yontif, and you bought it and you left it in your nice car driving around Florida. You actually, where's the best place you put it? Of course, you put it in the back windshield, right? By the time you get home, it's fried to a crisp, no aravos. Not so easy to find. What do you do? Day one and day two. If it's not your own, we just said you're not going to be yotze. Yikes. You need all four to be yotze the mitzvah. Missing one of the four, one of them is puzzle, on day one or day two, what are you going to do? My friend offered it to me. Does he have his own? Yeah. He said, I could borrow it. Doesn't work. So what should he do? So luckily, now let me, before I get to one solution, I'll tell you what pashtus is not a solution. In the world today, we're very into leasing. Right? Who buys cars nowadays? Everybody likes to lease. No headaches. Yeah. Right. Can't lease a yeshiva car, but okay. People like leasing cars. So I have a simple idea. Could one lease a Luvin Astro? For the rest of the days, I have my cheapy old one. But day one, day two, I'll lease a Lexus. I'll lease a top-of-the-line Astro. After all, it's only the first day. So if I bought one for all, you know, this is a good one. You go over to the guy selling you Luvin Astro, I go, look. I went to the share. I know the first 2 days, that's where the action is. So you know what? That's the deraisa. I know what you're charging for all 8 days for your Luvin Astro. How much would you charge me just to lease it for the first 2 days? The rest of the week, I'll come up with my, you know, cheapo, you know, BOGO Publix one. But the rest of the week, day one and day two, I want my a top of the line, I'll lease it. Can you do that? The Ksos HaChoshen actually thought you could. The concept, I'm doing this with my share in yeshiva, the concept of having a time lease, a matana lizman, this would be a present to you, you have ownership, up until this date, until your yotzi the mitzvah, on day one and day two, could one lease a lieu of an esrog? The Ksos HaChoshen says 100% yes. And he has some backing to what he's saying. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, brings him down, the Bir Halacha, which is Os Dalad on your sheet. However, he ends off the piece that the Ksos's opinion goes against the Rosh and the Ritva, goes against other Rishonim. The Nesivis, Ksos's arch nemesis, challenges that. And a very nice argument. The argument against the Ksos is you didn't really solve the issue. In halachic terms, leasing is the same as borrowing. If I don't fully own it, what do you mean? I could drive it for the next 2 years. Yeah. You could use it. The end of the day, who owns the car? Not the leasee. The car leasing company. They're the ones who are going to flip it and sell it after the lease is done. Right? If you killed it, you're in big trouble. So a lease, the Rishonim argue, is comparable to borrowing. So I can't lease my lulav and esrog. I definitely can't borrow my lulav and esrog. So what am I going to do? My esrog goes bad day one, day two. Hopefully this won't happen to anyone here. But come on. Yosuke, you play around with it. These things happen.
Could you own it with several people?
Ooh, excellent question.
And if so, could you have a block of time? You get from 10 to 10.
Timeshares.
Exactly.
Right? Where's the timeshare get-out group? Right? So they talk about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about your case of an esrog of shutfin, partnership in an esrog. You know, it's not just buying buildings you have to go in partnership. Some of these esrogim, you need a partner to go in.
They're a major scam.
Yeah.
Major
hold on, hold on. You obviously don't make your living selling love in an esrogim. Right. It's only a scam if you're on the buying end. But the Shulchan Aruch talks about that case also doesn't. Pashtus also does not work. Because you have to have full ownership. Partial ownership means you also don't fully own it. You have a stake. You're a stockholder. Oh, I own Coca-Cola. Look, here's my deed of stock. Buddy, a lot of people own Coca-Cola. Right? That's not really called owning. That's a stake. So ownership, partial shot means 100% it's got to be mine. So we're stuck. I can't borrow someone else's. I can't lease it. You just added beautifully. I can't have a partnership in it. So what do I do? So the Gemara itself really gives this as an idea, and the Shulchan Aruch expands on it, that there's a concept called Matana Amanas L'Hachzer. You can receive a present, providing that you return it back to the owner. And if you get it as a present, that's viewed 100% it's yours. But let me explain, because this is not an easy concept. A Matana Amanas L'Hachzer means you're making, I owe my Luv and Esrog. Okay? Now, I have a guest staying by my house for Sukkot. He traveled out of town, Hashem Yirachem, going through security. They took away his Luv and Esrog. He comes into my house, Erev Yontif. He has no Luv and Esrog. I feel bad for him. I have mine. So here's the Eitzah. And he says, look, I won't do anything. Okay, fine. You daven at the Hashkama Minyan. I'll daven at the regular Minyan. I'll give you my Esrog and Lula, my Aber Minim, as a Matana, on one condition. You give it back to me. So you'll have it to shake at the early Minyan. After you're finished, you'll give it back to me. Now, it doesn't suffice for you just to physically hand it back to me. Because if I gave it to you as a present, it's now yours. And if it's yours, if you just give it back to me, so you're lending me what previously was my dalet minim, then I'm going to knock it liyotze. Because now you're lending it back to me. What does that do? So the only way it works is if it's a double matana. I give it to you as a present on the condition that you're going to give it back to me as a present. If it's a dual gift, I'm giving to you as a present, and then you're going to give it back to me as a present, then and only then, Shulchan Aruch writes, it's going to work. If for some reason my friend messed it up, then we're both in trouble. Because not only will I not have, right? He dropped on the floor, now it's possible. Not only will I not have a Luv and Esrog to be Yotzi with, retroactively, his didn't work either. Because I made a clause. I'm giving to you as a present, providing you return that Luv and Esrog to me. Anything less than that, Pash does not work.
Assuming you trust them,
yes.
Person, wouldn't it be better to not make such a clause? Let's just give it to him as a matana, with the anticipation that he'll give it back to you. I can't force him, but The whole trick of the clause is just to ensure you get it back. But if okay. you trust them, then if something goes wrong, he would still be outside.
Rabbi Flamholtz, this was complicated to begin with. You want to add another layer that do without the t'nai because he knows the halakha and will make it easier for him in case he messes up. At least he gets the mitzvah and won't be a bracha l'atal. Nice idea. Too complicated. In fact, this is the practical suggestion that the Shulchan Aruch gives us, paying back to the Gemara, for how to do it. If on day one or day two you do not have a kosher lulav and esrog, what's the way to go? This concept of matana amanas lahatzer. I'm giving to you as a present, and you're going to give it back to me as a present. But let me add, I saw a very interesting halacha. Let's say a person has a choice. I got bleacher seat lulav and esrog. Basic one. Nosebleed. Yeah. No, you know about those nosebleeds. Right? I got a basic one. But my friend, he got the real chashuva one. He got VIP. So, you know what? It's the first day. I want to do the mitzvah d'oraisa the best way. Maybe the first day I'll utilize matana manas lahatzer. This is your type of thing. Right? I'll utilize matana manas lahatzer the first day. And the rest of the week I'll use my own. First day, the second day. Once you told me this works, I could utilize the double gift. So I should find the guy who's the best looking lulav and esrog in town. Do matana manas lahatzer with him. That works. So that's not borrowing. That's not lending. That's not shutfis. Utilize that. And I'm good to go. I have the best possible lulav and esrog. And I didn't pay full price. Right? Let's go for that. Okay? Even cheaper. So I'll tell you what the Chafetz Chaim recommends. And I'll take comments. The Chafetz Chaim recommends that one should not get involved with matana manas lahatzer unless you absolutely have to. The Chafetz Chaim brings down, it's really a Magen Avram, that with Choshesh, that it's a hard concept in halacha. People don't understand it well. And it's bound for, all you need is one of the two parties not to understand what's going on fully, and you don't really have a good transaction, and next thing you know, you're borrowing his esrog, which would not work. So the Chafetz Chaim recommends, unless you're forced to, we don't play around with matana manas lahatzer. So buy yourself a lulav and esrog. It's better to use a weaker level of a lulav and esrog, which is your own, than to get involved with matana manas lahatzer on day one or day two with somebody else's. After you pass day two, call Gavod. You want to borrow someone else's, go for it. But on day one and day two, it's not a good idea. Yes? I'll take the back first. Huh?
Children, your wife.
We'll get to that in a moment.
What if you can't afford it?
It's a good question. Right. I actually saw a nice discussion in halacha. Makes for a good share, but not today. Right? The tzedakah funds have to help people for doing mitzvahs. Tzedakah funds only for physical food needs, tomkei Shabbos? Or what about for halachic needs? Interesting question. Yes?
Putting aside the complexities that the Chafetz Chaim is concerned about, isn't the whole thing a major bidyevit?
Because what?
Because it's just a bidyevit. It's not the right way to do it.
No. If you're stuck and you have to utilize matana manas lahatzer, halachically, that's a valid concept.
But it's a bidyevit.
But practically speaking, yes. I would say a person should try to avoid it like the plague. They should definitely stay away from it. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. Because people are not going to know how to utilize it, and the odds are it could be done wrong.
What's going on?
Okay. Yeah, both parties have to know what's going on. That's a full matana. It's not being borrowed. I'm being machne to you. You're being machne back to me. It's all good. But hold on. Sorry, I'll get back to people. One problem which was brought up is this works well for adults who can make a kinyan. But a big issue is involving children. And that the Shulchan Aruch speaks about in Sivav. Right? There are many things you shouldn't give to a kid. But this is on the list. Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo yitnu biyom rishon l'katan konu shiyotzebo. Don't give it to a katan. You live in Esrog. Why? Very fascinating concept. I am able, through another complex halakha concept, I could be makna something. I could give something over to a child and he'll be able to acquire it. Normally a kinyan requires das. A child doesn't have das until he's 13. I don't care if he's the Vilna Gaon. Until you're 13, you don't have das. So, but you could use substitution das. An adult could be makne, could pass over something to the child, and the child will be konet. That side of the equation works. But the reverse won't. A kid can't be makne back to an adult, an object, even if the adult was helping. In Shira, I explained this simply. It's easier to be a receiver than a quarterback. Gabriel, you like that one? Lamaisa, with a kid, if you would give it over to a child, a big problem. Not going to be able to get it back. Now, hold on. The clock is ticking. So this is a shortened share. But let me, I'll go through this and I'll make myself available for all questions, as usual. But, so by a child, you can't utilize matana manas lahachzer. So what am I supposed to do with my kid? My 10-year-old kid who wants to do the mitzvah, I can't simply lend it to him. I can't rent it to him. Can this? What am I supposed to do? Matana manas lahachzer is not going to work. So the simplest etzah, which the Chafetz Chaim writes, which Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva about, is you should buy your kid his own Luluv and Esrog. 100%. Buy him a Luluv and Esrog. This is what they sell. Chinuch sets, and it's not a scam. There's a valid halakhic reason. You want to train your child to do the mitzvah of Tal Minim. Well, you should teach him. There's a din called Lachem. That it's got to be yours. Got to be yours. The only way for it to be his is let him keep it. It's his. So that is first and foremost the best way to go about. Buy your kids a chinuch set. It means just basic level, being kosher, usually a little cheaper, buy it for them. But here's the issue. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I have a few kids that are of the age of chinuch. And in fact, I just saw last night someone giving a share on this, and he brought up an issue. We don't find so much, look around, there aren't usually too many girls with chinuch sets. Maishna, if you've been mechanuch them in the mitzvah, and they have the same issue, they can't be kona something, the only way to get around it for the day one and day two is their own set. So really, boy, am I doing a good business for the Mokre Dal Minim. You should have a set for every chinuch age child in your house. What's the difference, boy or girl? Once they're not mechuyev, but once they're doing it, so then, right? Is your daughter benching Luv and Esrog or not? What's the answer to the question? The answer is yes. How's she doing it? With Yossi's Luv and Esrog? How's she get her brother's Luv and Esrog? How do you transfer it to her? There's no solution. So simply, you have to buy them one. I'll give you one solution, which the Chafetz Chaim brings at the end of the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Chav Ches, and expounds upon it in the Shaar Tzion, and it gives us an amazing insight. The concept of chinuch. The Chafetz Chaim says, for a child, you could use a borrowed lulav and esrog. Didn't we just start off the whole share that a borrowed lulav and esrog is possible? It's possible with the raisa because of lachem. How can I use a borrowed lulav and esrog for a kid? The answer is, well, a child's responsibility to do it is chinuch. Chinuch is on the mitzvah of the rabbanon. So you know what? For that, it's okay to utilize a borrowed lulav and esrog. A poskim are on top of this. What do you mean? Shouldn't I be mechanech my child the best way to do it? The way to do it? I have to teach them dikdik b'halacha. Would a borrowed lulav and esrog work for an adult? So how could a kid use it? Answers of Moshe Feinstein, a very interesting idea. He has a chakira. He has two ways to look. How do we view our responsibility in chinuch? Definitely the more simple way is, look, what I have to teach my children halacha, how to do mitzvahs, and whatever degree of nuances in halacha, complexity in halacha, which they're capable of understanding, I should give over to my children. So of course I'm going to teach them to do it the right way, with the right halachas. But Rav Moshe argues there's another perspective of what chinuch is. The main job of chinuch is to get them on the right path. Get them accustomed to doing mitzvahs. At this stage of their age, we're not necessarily looking at the complexities. That's for later, when they'll sit in yeshiva and they'll learn about this and that. Right now, I want them to get accustomed to doing it. So even though she'ulah is something which by an adult would not work, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that would be the argument, which the Chofetz Chaim is bringing at Tzad, that for a child, one could use a borrowed lulav and esrog. Quite fascinating. Very interesting insight, two different perspectives on the concept of chinuch. Now, let me just summarize. Okay, hold on. You want to give your kids a purple share, huh? So what we come out today is the following. Again, day one, and we brought down who had been day two in Chutz Laretz. One has to be careful to have his own lulav and esrog. You can't borrow it, you can't lease it, and you can't go into partnership with it. You gotta be your own. Fill the din lachem. If chas v'shalom, you're lacking one, what are you gonna have to do? The answer is matana amanas lahachzer. And this simply, the Nesivus explains, in Europe, the case we started with earlier, they have one lulav and esrog. How is the whole community going to be yotze with it? There's really a two-edged sword. Hopefully they understood matana amanas lahachzer, and that's how they did it. There are some additional ideas some posts can talk about to explain it. But it's not the easy way to go. If you're stuck in Europe, look, it's better to have a communal lulav and esrog, which you use matana amanas lahachzer, than to cut it up, or than to use one from last year. But to utilize the concept of matana amanas lahachzer, if one's stuck, you have to be receive it fully as a gift from your friend, but then you have to gift it back. This is where it's a good time to gift back. You gift it back to your friend, so now he fully owns it, not just borrowing it from you. And this concept doesn't work well by a child, doesn't work at all by a child, and therefore, ideally, you could utilize a chinuch set, but if not, there is a tzad that you could lend it out within the kids. That would be okay. Thank you very, very much. Wishing everyone a chag kosher v'sameach. See you after Yom Tov.